This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with you, along with Richie Otey. What's up, baby?
What's going on?
And Wai-Wai's hanging it down in the studio while Mary Goulet is out doing her good work in the world. Helping
saving
the planet one person at a time, because thank God somebody's doing it. And of the four of us, I think Mary is definitely the most qualified to do that. Although you would be a close second, Richie Otey. And I think Wade might be a distant third.
Hey, I think our guest is pretty good at it too.
Our guest is definitely very, very good at it. And tell you, talk about interesting stories. Now, I first came to be aware of our guest, about 5-6 years ago or something like that. And I know he's been doing things online and in a lot of different arenas for a number of years. But first came across him about 5-7 years ago, whatever it might be at this point. And super impressed with the work that he was doing at that time. And talk about reinventing his career and reinventing his life and reinventing what was most important to him. This would be the poster child, sort of the personification of the whole reinvention process. And so it's really an honor and a privilege to have someone of our guest stature to join us here on the show, because I know how busy he is. So, Wade, let's without further ado, let's actually bring up our guest today, who is the one and only Yannick Silver. What's up, my man? How you doing, brother?
Hey, Steve. Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, dude. No,
I caused you guys a little bit of a heart attack here. I lost track of time. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Well, you know what, man? When you are out changing the world as you are doing, and making everyone evolve in their thinking, it's understandable. You get kind of caught up in things. You get a little bit busy.
Thanks for being transparent too, Yannick. We actually were just thinking you were super, super efficient with time.
Yeah, that's kind of how we were leaning towards it. So you lose track of time. We're just thinking, you know what? This man is so on it. He is going to call 32 and a half seconds before, just accommodating the time it takes for the phone to ring.
Exactly.
And the amount of time it's going to take for us to pick up and then patch in and so on. So we just think you're very efficient. I think that's kind of what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So
if it makes you feel any better, There were meetings right before this that we were involved in that had some big implications.
Nice. And right now, I know you're big into, you know, all the disruptive technologies and all the things that are going on with people who are really doing amazing things on the planet. And so I think it's important for us to note that right now, at last I heard you were with Elon Musk, and you guys were up in one of the spaceships there. So you're actually calling from one of the ships with Elon at this moment, correct?
Almost correct. Yeah.
Okay. All right. There we go. All right. So for those who don't know you, I mean, you've done a lot of things in your career, man. You're kind of that entrepreneurial type poster child. I mean, you've done a number of different things. Kind of take us backwards before we get into your current work. And so we don't have to go too far back, but have you always been an entrepreneur? What were you doing, you know, kind of in those early formative years of working?
Yeah, I grew up with it. So my dad and the whole family came over when I was 3 years old from Russia, and my dad ended up starting a medical equipment sales and service company 6 months after he got here, and kind of that typical immigrant success story. And I grew up working for him, telemarketing when I was 14 years old, 16, all that on the road, cold calling. I got a car if I went and cold called. And so I got a really early sales and marketing education, and I also realized really early on that cold calling really sucked. And one of my doctor clients gave me a J. Abraham tape and kind of turned the lights on direct response marketing, and I started applying these principles and ideas and grew my dad's business to a regional player, to a national player, and really honed my chops that way, and then saw the internet, and I was like, wow, this is fascinating, back in 2000, and literally had an idea at 3 o'clock in the morning that turned into my first $1 million product.
It's like, oh, that's no big deal, just had an idea, turned it into a product, and we did $1 million. Like, do you know there are people right now, Yannick, who are jumping out of their chairs and literally took their iPods or their, you know, the CarPlay, you know, whatever they're listening to right now, and they're literally ripping it out and throwing it across the room, because they're like, okay, I have been doing this for 10 years and I have yet to make anywhere near that kind of money. What on earth did you do differently that put that on the map for you? Because even and it's easier now than it was then because there's so many more people online. So how did you do it then? How did you get to $1 million with that product?
Well, yeah, I mean, in some ways it's easier. In some ways it's harder because there are even more people and there's more competition for everything. It is easier to get something going. So it started small, right? So I also put in the 10 years. The 10 years was actually learning the copywriting, the leverage of human psychology and influence in some way, and that direct response marketing. And then that was my next sort of step online, which was taking the sales letters and materials. I also worked for a bunch of clients kind of on the side during that time. And I used all those materials to turn into something called instant sales letters. And so that was the 3 o'clock idea. And the big lesson there was actually give people a fish. So you heard the saying, you know, if you teach a man to, if you hand him a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man a fish, you feed him for life. And people actually want fish handed to them.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the secrets.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting because I think, and look, with all due respect to all the human beings that walk this planet, I mean, I think we all are inherently lazy when you come right down to it, right? I mean, because the less work you have to do to get the results that you want to get, people are going to take that path over. So let me get this straight. I can take this path and I can get there in 48 hours because I'm going to take something that someone else has already done and apply it to what I'm doing. Or I can take this path and try to figure out how to do it in 4 years. And I may eventually they're going to take the 48-hour path all day long and they're going to pay for that. So was that one of your earliest business lessons is I don't want to be competing on price where I'm just providing information. You actually want to help people get to where they want to go as fast as they can possibly get there, but charge them a premium to make that happen because you're really dramatically shortening that curve?
I don't know if it was a premium necessarily. It wasn't super cheap, but it wasn't super expensive, but it was definitely that fish product and thinking about, okay, how do you get someone on a silver platter exactly what they need so they can copy and paste so they can, have the tool that they need, and that's continued to work over and over again. We've done that a couple times.
Mm-hmm. And so
they'll pay for that. They'll pay for the speed. They'll pay for the someone figuring out the formula for them already.
Mm-hmm. And so at this juncture, is that one of the ways that you look to help your clients get to where they want to go is by helping them create products and services that really do, in fact, cut down that curve for their clients? Is that one of your sort of, if we're going to use the term, business principles?
Yeah, one of the business principles for sure is that, that fish. But it was interesting that turned into, so I think that your true success is a byproduct of where you think it is. And so my original goal was to build up instant sales letters, sell it for $500,000 to like stamps.com or something like that. But really what happened was people were like, wow, how did you do that? And that turned into kind of another career, helping and teaching other people how to sell their information or content online. And then that kind of turned into this whole other career. And you talk about reinvention. And I feel like almost every, 9 years, I go through this reinvention cycle, sometimes a little bit longer, but 9 years into that where outside looking in, everyone's like, he's doing amazing. I was making a lot of money online. I had a great reputation in space, which isn't that easy. And I just, realized I wasn't that happy, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so that turned into a lot of reflection, a lot of journaling and thinking about, okay, could I, what would really turn into that happy, the ultimate expression of that. And that was something called Maverick, originally called Maverick Business Adventures. Now it's called Maverick 1000. And it was bring together entrepreneurs and do cool adventures together and have business sessions out in the middle of nowhere and have some sort of charity component. And then $400,000 into it, my wife's like, so what the hell are you doing? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Richie, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to ask Yannick if – hi, Yannick. How you doing?
Hey.
I was going to ask you, in all your years of experience in dealing with so many big players in that industry, did you feel unique and you were the only one that was doing this reinvention? It seems like a lot of them kind of are this 9 to 10 year things. Kind of seems universal across the board. Did you see that? Or?
Yeah, well, I see a lot. So, with the Maverick Group, it's a group of industry leaders and people who are at the top of their game in whatever marketplace that they're in. And yeah, I definitely see that more and more. And I feel like entrepreneurs in general, we're wired that way. whether it's from a sale of a company or simply feeling like we've outgrown where we are. And I think that's good. I think that's an evolution. And where it gets hard is when you get stuck and you stay there even longer than you should. Sometimes it's because it's a golden handcuff kind of issue where you know, you're really worried about having the security for your family or whatever the case is, and not realizing where the revenue model is going to be and something else. But I think that following your heart is never wrong, but it's frequently scary.
Frequently scary, yeah. No, I hear you. And you were able to do some amazing things with the Underground event, and I know you're no longer involved with that, or at least you sold it off, right? What happened? Because you did this awesome event called the Underground Seminar and so on. We got about 35, 40 seconds before we got to go to break here, but that was one of the best events around as far as online marketing is concerned. Are you still involved with that, or where are you at with that?
I am, yeah. It's a licensing partnership with two members, and you know that's a good example of actually going the opposite direction, and maybe we'll come back from commercial.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know one of the things that you were really, really just honed in on being able to answer this question honestly, which is, you know, if I continued down this path, would I be happy and totally fulfilled 10 years from now doing what I was doing? And I know you had to be, that's a hard question to be able to answer honestly. And you looked yourself in the mirror and you said, you know what I'm doing right now, I don't think I would be happy and totally fulfilled doing this 10 years from now. So we're going to talk about the evolution of Yannick Silver and everything that he's doing right now to change the world here on Reinvention Radio. Really great stuff. All right, more with Yannick Silver right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steven Ulcher, Ingenati, Robert Tiote, and White Wade hanging it down over there. And we got Yannick Silver on the line here, man. And so, Yannick, let's talk about what shall be known in perpetuity as your cereal bowl moment. And by the way, what cereal were you eating?
That's a good question. I don't even remember.
And welcome back to Earth, by the way. That is much better. Yay.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No worries.
We didn't have time to get a better connection, so hopefully this is – people that stuck with us, you get now a much clearer audio.
Nice. All right, so let's talk about the cereal bowl moment, and more importantly, what were you eating, and were you using almond milk?
I think it was probably going to be some sort of oatmeal or who knows what it was, but the more – you know, the bigger part was – it was literally this time when – I mean, I'm a very low-key kind of, you know, very, very – even keel person, and I literally threw my cereal bowl from the kitchen into our living room or our family room, and it was a plastic cereal bowl, but it was, you know, it wasn't like this glass cereal bowl, but it made a nice dent in the wall, which is pretty good.
Nice.
And I was just so mad that, you know, I had this sort of open checkbook from the publishing company that was funding what I was doing over here on the Maverick side, and I couldn't figure it out. Like everything before that, I mean, I had eight different product services that hit the seven-figure mark. And so, you know, I kind of knew what I was doing, but all of a sudden the game had changed for me. And so I had hired people we didn't necessarily need to hire at that moment. And I tried to do things differently with this company where before it was totally bootstrapped, you know, started with like $1,100 out of a one-bedroom apartment. And this was kind of open checkbook trying to do it all right from the get-go. And that we didn't have the right business model. I mean, I had the passion for it. And passion can be this dual-edged sword, would, you know, so I asked myself that question that you mentioned before the break, which is, you know, 10 years from now, would you be happy? And so that's, this is what I thought would be my ultimate end all. And it just didn't match up against a really smart business model. And, you know, by having that open checkbook, it eliminated some of the urgency to, to keep teaching and keep making things happen. And there was something there, and I kept at it. And that was my moment of truth to really decide, you know, do I want to keep doing this or not? And, or do I just go back to the digital marketing, internet marketing stuff? And because I knew I could make that work.
Was kind of the difference between having a, what I might call a commodity oriented business, versus doing something that, really put fire in your soul? I mean, would you define that as being the primary difference between the two?
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, the online marketing stuff was, I was still helping a lot of people because, you know, I was able to help them take their expertise and get it online and really help them achieve financial freedom or a level of freedom they weren't able to see before. So there was a lot of meaning in there, but it just wasn't, I didn't feel like it had, it wasn't the greatest expression of what I could do.
Mm-hmm. And so talk to us then about what, because you came up, and I don't want to say you came up with this, but you embraced a new business model, right, where it's not just about the money, but it is truly about the fulfillment. And there's going to be folks who are going to sit there and are going to say, well, look, Yannick, that's all well and good for you, man, and I get it, and I understand why you want to do something that's more fulfilling because you already have the money. So how do you address folks who have that question of like, okay, it's all well and good for you when you have money, and of course money doesn't matter at that point. You know, you can do that, man, because you've got the money. I don't have the money. I still got to do this. I still got to do the hustle, and I may not be fulfilled. I may not be that happy, but I got to keep a roof over my head. So, I mean, what do you say to those folk?
I think that it's so you know, what you're inferring is the latest book. It's called Evolved Enterprise, and it's all these pieces that were really discovered through that process of reinventing what we were doing again. And it was able to tap into people like Rich Teerlink, who's the former CEO of Harley Davidson, and Chip Conley from Joie de Vivre Hotels, and Tony Hsieh from Zappos, and so on. And all of them had pieces of this where once we figured it out, we actually improved our income on that side of things by something like 823%. Or 824, I forgot what it was, but over a 3-year period. So it, once we figured that out, where we had the greater impact of what we were able to do, have the culture, have the community that wanted to buy and spread the word of what we're doing, have the product that had the baked-in impact. So all those things really went into play. And the person that's sitting at home saying, well, yeah, that's great for you, but it actually improves bottom line. So, you know, it's a pragmatic thing. It's not just so it seems good. It's an altruistic thing. It's actually good for your business.
Yes. So, Yannick, we were talking a few episodes back about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and we were kind of discussing whether or not you needed to get through each of those steps to get to the next step, right, to fulfillment at the top, a self-actualized person.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if, in your opinion, you can kind of, maybe that's a hacking Maslow almost, you know, like you can kind of get, do a little bit of the fulfillment, and it even helps those other categories.
You just gave me the title of my new book. I love that. Hacking Maslow. That's it. Thanks, Rich. I'm good.
Hey, man, I'm good for at least two or three of those
every
week.
Love that. Yeah, but it's a great point. Now, what do you think, Yannick?
I think that it's...
Love that.
Yeah, so our model actually starts with you at the center, because as you know, that everything that happens internally, you know, it shows up in your external world, and the better you get at understanding yourself and getting to where your true passions are, or, you know, really following that, your bliss, as Joseph Campbell would say, that doors will open. And bliss doesn't mean happiness only. It means totally like feeling fully utilized, using all your talents, using all your resources, you know, putting everything to bear. So when you start doing that, I look at your business as almost like a piece of canvas, like an artistic canvas. And as entrepreneurs, we're artists, and we can take what is our greatest meaningful work in the world. What's, how do we want to express that through the business model, and who do we want to serve and be a hero to, and so forth. And that becomes the artistry. And at that point, you really are doing some of your greatest work, and you are very high up on, I guess, Maslow's pyramid there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so maybe we should just take a quick step back, which is your book, Evolved Enterprise. It's a great book, by the way, and I can certainly see why, and actually the numbers support this as well, not only, of course, in your organization, but as I think was in that Firms of Endearment, which is a great book title as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they found that people who embraced this model actually outperformed the S&P 500. It was like there's not even a comparison between the two. So just take a quick step back, and for those who are unfamiliar then with your whole concept around an evolved enterprise, what does that actually mean?
So it's really part of this coming business shift that really can change everything. It's how a company can be designed around a greater purpose, you know, more joy, more fulfillment, and meaningful impact that actually creates that brand loyalty, creates a competitive advantage, and the greater profit. So I have 11 different models I outline inside the book, and you know, one that many people might be familiar with is, let's say, Tom's Shoes. Where it's buy one and give one, and they give a pair of shoes to a child in need somewhere else.
Yep.
And that's a great model. And it's, you know, it also has a few downfalls, but there's 10 others in there. And so another one that's really exciting is something called empowered employment, where you take something that could be a disadvantage and turn it into an advantage. So there's a company called Ultra Testing that not many people have ever heard of, where they do QC and quality control, quality assurance testing for cross-browser platform type stuff. And what they do is they've hired people on the autism spectrum scale because stereotypically, that they are more – they're better with repetitive tasks, more attention to detail and so forth. So it takes what could be a disadvantage, turns it into an advantage, and you create an incredibly loyal workforce. And you're creating a competitive advantage for your business, and there's a, you know, it also improves profits by sharing that story of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. My wife is a funeral director and embalmer, and we've been kicking around the idea of doing a funeral home. She really wants to have her own place, and she should, because she'd be fantastic. And has been working for the man, the corporation, yeah, just everything that you think about if you've seen 6 Feet Under. I mean, that's like the corporation she works for, basically. And so one of the things that we were talking about, because she really has a soft place for those who can't afford the services of that type of facility, one of the things that we've been talking about is maybe doing a one-for-one, where somebody comes in and they have a normal service and they pay for that, and then for that service – we donate a service to an underprivileged family, someone who cannot afford to bury their loved one with dignity and so on.
Yeah.
So
like Tom's Shoes and Bombas?
Well, you know, sort of. What would be your take on that? What's something to think about in that model, or in something that we might be able to leverage around your thinking around Evolved Enterprise as it relates to that?
Well, so I think that the funeral industry is ripe for some sort of disruption.
Yeah,
so it
for
could
sure.
It could be really interesting. And, you know, it's a very emotional time in everybody's life.
Yeah.
Because as a culture, we've taken away the normalcy of what death is. You know, mm-hmm. it used to be that someone died and they would, you know, live with them in the living room for a
right.
week or something like that. And the family would come and visit. And it was just, you know, it was normal. It wasn't something that. So there's so many things, and you know, that could be a really interesting way of tying in. Yeah, I mean that one for one could be the model. It could be something else. It could be, you know, creating unique job opportunities for the community that is an underserved community as well, and that it's a really interesting sort of ecosystem. So that community is learning a trade, mm-hmm. and at the same time that they're involved in having an opportunity to provide a death with dignity, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways of thinking about it. When I think about a cause, so if we looked at the model is, it starts at the center with you, and the next circle out is cause. And so the cause is either going to be something that is particular to me from my story and what I truly care about and who I want to serve, or it's who do my customers ultimately want to help.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna have to do this. We're gonna have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio, and we're talking to Yannick Silver, and really, really great stuff here. So, Yannick, if people want more information about you, where is the best place for them to start?
EvolvedEnterprise.com or YannickSilver.com.
Yeah. All right. Great. So we'll have more with Yannick Silver on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Looking Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulsher hanging out with Richie Ote, White Wade, and the one and only Yannick Silver of Evolved Enterprise. And that's evolvedenterprise.com. Now, let me ask you a question, Yannick, because you're involved with a lot of different things, and certainly over the years, you've done quite a bit that people would look at and go, geez, I mean, that guy's really just had the golden touch with everything that he's been involved in. Had there been any failures? Had there been anything catastrophic that the public just doesn't even know about?
Well, I think this moment that I was talking about, that cerebral moment, is probably one of the biggest ones where everything that I thought I sort of knew really wasn't panning out the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I'm actually incredibly grateful because, you know, I think we grow through either joy or pain, right? Like joy is kind of our GPS system, always pulling us forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then pain are like guardrails. And the more narrow the guardrails, the easier we're moving towards joy, the wider they are. I think the universe continues hitting you on the head over and over again. It's you know, that $400,000 mark, it wasn't like, I mean, our very first trip, we lost $40,000 or $35,000. So that was like a little bonk on the head.
Yeah.
And it keeps growing from there until you get the message and learn what you're supposed to learn. So I think that if you look at them as growth opportunities, and, you know, in the middle of it, it didn't feel like a growth opportunity. But right now, looking back, I'm extremely grateful because what we had for our big vision was not nearly the same. I mean, not even close to the same of what we have right now for our big vision of how we really want to change the way businesses play.
Yeah. And you're playing at a pretty big level. I mean, you're playing it at such a big level, in fact, that like when you throw a dinner party, you don't even have to show up and 90 people are there. That is the coolest trick I've ever seen in the book, man. How do you pull that off? Is it just an incredible support system or what?
And did you come in via Skype too? Or
No, he wasn't even there. Oh, Yannick throws the world's awesome. Best dinner party and doesn't even show up to it. It's awesome.
I think it's a testament to the people that we have in our community because they are all really incredible, and they are. You know, it's like when I think about creating sandboxes and you put really incredible people together, really great things happen from that.
Yeah.
And so those kind of sandboxes are what get me excited.
Yeah,
and,
man. So let me ask you this, because that speaks to a great point about the power of community and creating buy-in to a vision. How do you get your employees, your clients, others to buy into your vision? What can you offer us in terms? I mean, there are folks out there who really want to create that sort of movement, you know, who really want to create that sort of environment where people just, I mean, it just takes on a life of its own. What can you teach us about creating that sort of movement and creating that sort of community?
I think it happens from people get engaged in a couple ways, right? A bigger mission than what they can do on their own. So if you show them that vision. And so part of ours is using entrepreneurship to solve some big social issues. And that's what we do every time we get together. Part of it is creating an identity for them. So the Maverick group, they all would say, yeah, I'm a Maverick, and they have that identity, and that's been woven in. It's been part of, you know, unique language that we use, so having those types of things, having, you know, more tactical things like having a number for people, believe it or not, actually works. So giving them an identity with that number, having a tactical kind of.
You mean a goal, like a we want to impact 1,000 businesses. You mean not like you give your community people,
number 67,
right?
Your turn,
yeah.
To talk.
Oh, yeah, like,
right.
No, like they're, yeah,
yeah.
No.
You got to talk to 74 because 67 doesn't get it. No, you got to hang out with 74. That's
yeah. Actually, giving them no, you're right. I mean, giving them a number. Giving them, you know, so they feel like they're part of something there, and so that's, you know, not taking away their name and identity, but giving them that number. If they're part of this global mission of X amount of people or so forth, then that actually does work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. No, that's That totally makes sense. So, yeah. And let me ask you this then. As far as, you know, where you're at in terms of what's next, having done what you've done and now being involved with, you know, creating this whole Evolved Enterprise movement, and you've been rubbing shoulders with amazing people over the, you know, I mean, the course of the better part of, you know, 20-plus years. I mean, what's next for you, man? How do you continue to stay fired up, and where are you headed in terms of your own personal goals and objectives?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always evolving. You know, one of my biggest kind of pieces that I've added to my life recently has been more mindfulness through yoga and meditation for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And that has actually helped me really tap into, I talk about aligning your head, which is your business side, aligning your heart, which is how do you want to make an impact, and aligning your higher purpose. And then not forgetting your happy inner child too. And so if you get all those pieces lined up together, then you know, things really do flow. And so it's getting clearer and clearer on what is my highest purpose. And to me, I look at it as I'm a catalyst of other catalysts. So mm-hmm. people that have leverage, people who have reach and voices, I want to help, again, put them in a sandbox that we can do great things through mm-hmm. their voice and reach and through entrepreneurship together.
And look, that's all well and good, and you've got a great book and so on, but we all know as authors, there's only so much money you're going to see from a book. What's your current revenue model then?
It's a couple things. One is some of the licensing arrangements that we have for some of my content and pieces. Some of it is the membership fees that come through Maverick members. Some of it is, you know, people that want to go into more advanced training around mm-hmm. the Evolved Enterprise or some of the other things that I teach on. So every once in a while, I'll do a workshop or something on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. And you know, believe it or not, that first website, the Instant Sales Letters, is still selling.
Is it really? Wow.
Yeah.
Unreal. So let me ask you this as we head sort of towards the home stretch, if you will. I believe that, you know, we all have something that we're struggling with, something that kind of keeps us awake at night and maybe something that even depresses the hell out of us when we sit in a dark corner and really give thought to it. What's that struggle for you at the moment?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, everyone doesn't have everything figured out. I think for me, it's that we've figured out a lot of these pieces, and we have the DNA of what we're doing so well dialed in. It's how do I, you know, you mentioned the dinner party without me there. How do I do a little bit more of that even where it's not requiring me? How do I decentralize the community and let them grow
mm-hmm.
and truly, you know, let the community take it where it wants, but still having enough, I don't know, enough kind of my thumbprint on it that it doesn't get too far off track.
Yeah. And what scares you then is not being able to have that sort of impact and not being able to make that happen.
Yeah. And then not, right, having it go completely sideways into a whole different direction than I wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm. In the last 60 seconds here, man, what would you tell either a 20 something who is just trying to figure out what to do in so far as business and entrepreneurship is concerned, or a, you know, 40, 50, 60 something who's been doing it now for decades and has that cereal bowl moment? What do you want them to know?
I think it comes back to listening to your heart and especially journaling. I think journaling is one of the best exercises that we can do. And even if you've tried it before and stopped doing it, even if you've never done it, like just truly writing from your heart of what do you want? And it doesn't have to be hard. Like you can allow things to just happen and open up and say yes to them and then decide what's next
mm-hmm.
and be open to it. But that journaling of what, you know, what's my feeling about this? What's my emotion? It's, you're going to get, all these are going to be signals for you. And sometimes there's gonna be a lot of hints, especially if you go back to what you love to do as a kid. And there's so many hints in that way too. And it's like, you don't, it doesn't have to be a struggle.
Yeah, man. Well, sage advice from the one and only Yannick Silver, and really do wish you well in your current endeavors. And I'm really glad you're doing the amazing work that you're doing in the world. And so one more time, if folks want more information about you and your organization or Maverick, where are the best places for them to go?
So Maverick would be maverick1000.com and then evolvedenterprise.com. And of course, they can pick up the book there or at Amazon.
Yeah. All right, my friend.
I'm going to Twitter you too and ask a question, then we ran out of time.
There you go. All right. Cool. Hit you on
Thank
social.
I really appreciate it.
All right, my man. Well, great chatting with Yannick Silvers. We're reinventing business as usual. For Richie Yote and White Wade and Kelly Polker and Mary Goulet, I'm Steve Olscher. And definitely keep rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the podcast edition. We love you guys. And we'll talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, everybody.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.